Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Live from Londinium. On a raw, stormy evening, 91 AD, the Thames, I can't even see it, but I can hear it splashing around. Certainly, the watermen will not be out there tonight unless someone's in need of correction or health care. We are tucked up in our favorite wine bar with our centurions. They've come in late. It's wet outside, and they've been tromping around, taking care of their families before they rushed to consult. I think the explanation the centurions have told me that works is to say that you're going to hang out with some old centurion buddies and you philosophize about your service, something high toned like that. In truth, we're just telling stories, but we do enjoy it. Germanicus is here. The centurions are here. And we've meant to be philosophical, but the events of these last days require Germanicus's attention, because the headlines now routinely in the United States and in Europe and in Russia lead toward this word peace, which is quite extraordinary, given we've had years of war and the war continues in other parts of the planet. But peace is now breaking out all over the headlines. Peace of what? Peace being defined by the players. In this case, we have a headline, Mr. Rubio in Florida talking peace with delegation from Moscow. Exchanges between other counselors of the president, Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner, are mentioned. And the president's remarks himself about peace in Europe. At the same time, there are remarks about anything but peace in Venezuela. And there are disappointing signs from the Middle East that the Hezbollah is rearming very quickly, and that Israel is not at peace, not even at a ceasefire when it comes to Hezbollah. There's also reason to believe that there are other occasions that trouble could break out at any moment. In other words, we're as vulnerable as we were last week, except for they're using the word peace. So later on tonight, the centurions are staging another mock battle. The teenage boys love these things. Who knew? They're going to do the opening rounds of Cannae. You will recall the Romans didn't do well, Cannae. That was then. This is now. These centurions are all product of legions. They're very successful. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. 25 years, and they retired to Londinium. We're going to begin, however, with this rumor of peace in the 21st century. Germanicus, there's no easy way to sum this up, but it would appear that NATO, in conjoining with the Trump administration, is seeking peace in Ukraine. An exchange of promises and a negotiated treaty, perhaps obligations going forward, outside observers. What could be called a ceasefire is being fashioned into a peace agreement. And that peace agreement is to speak to the future of Europe, the future of Ukraine, the future of Donbass, which is eastern Ukraine, and the relations between the United States and Russia. I believe at some point in these conversations, some members of either delegation, it might have been Mr. Witkoff, have mentioned things like the START Treaty or the New START Treaty or nuclear arrangements. Nuclear weapons are always mentioned. So it's not one thing I can ask you to speak to other than to say peace is in the air. You and I in the 20th century went through this when we were younger men, and peace was in the air in 1968, 69, 70. Then it was a country, a small country of no world-shaking significance, neither then nor now, just like Ukraine, called Vietnam. And peace was in the air. There were songs about it. I remember you could buy a tie with a peace symbol on it at Harvard Square. I remember people talking with each other, and they would end their conversation with holding up some number of fingers and saying peace. It was everywhere, especially among young people. It feels as if we're moving into that now, but those same young people have become old men. Maybe this is sentimental on their part. What peace, Germanicus, and how? Good evening to you.
Good evening, guys. Peace is often a changeling word for defeat. And when defeat becomes inevitable, the side that is looking at full prostration and submission seeks peace as soon as is practicable in order to escape or avoid the public ritual of prostration and submission. So the whole tenor of the conversation and the public and media representation of where we are is suddenly being inflected. We've been talking about the Russian advantage and the likelihood of a Russian victory and the meaningful benchmarks that we have that indicate an eventual Russian triumph. And the media could still, along with the governments that essentially own much of the media, would prefer to have sustained forever, which is that Ukraine will prevail, eventually Russia will fall, and we have to see this through to the end, meaning probably the end of Ukraine. And now it's quite clear that the long arc of Russia's attrition strategy is culminating. And there are articles all over the mainstream media now, which suddenly discover that, desertions have risen meteorically, and you have losses of 40,000 Ukrainians a month, 40,000 Ukrainian soldiers, not all dead, but a lot of them what we call irrecoverable casualties. And you know that number is huge. And the recruitment is non-existent as recruitment. There's only impressment, and they can't kidnap enough men every month to even come close to replacing the physical losses and the incredible surge of desertion, and not to even to mention the tens and tens of thousands of younger men who, fearing that the draft mobilization age will be lowered, have left the country, you know, the 18 to 22-year-olds and the like. So Ukraine is now on the cusp of coming apart. And that creates two issues suddenly. How to conjure up an offer to Mr. Putin that he will accept, given the fact that he can just continue on the course that he's been leading Russia on for a few more months and get everything he wants. And how do you handle the atmospherics of defeat? It petrifies the Europeans, but as we discussed last week, Europe doesn't have a military. There's no European military for the first part. There is NATO, but in the absence of the US, any kind of military action outside of NATO would have to be a coalition of the willing, as they say, and it would be under the auspices, perhaps, of the EU. But there is no deployable force available to Europe. They do not have the capacity to deploy any meaningful contingent of effective soldiers. And to add to that, they are behind the curve in terms of the way in which war has dramatically changed. during the last 4 years. So they're not prepared to fight, and they can't get enough in to fight, and they can't sustain the fight if it were to happen. So they have no choice but to find a peace that will somehow alleviate the humiliation and shame of defeat after trumpeting inevitable Ukrainian victory for over 3 years.
I'm surprised in hearing you remind me where we are. I'm surprised we've not heard protests from the neocons. They seem unusually silent, unless I've missed their...
No, you're right.
And now, neocons are not defeatist people. They are perpetually aggressive. So what could it mean that they're not commenting boldly? There might be some scrambling around the edges, you know, a PBS show we might have missed. But in any event, I've not heard the screaming headlines you would hear if we were to surrender in Vietnam, which we never tried. But in any event, that scale, nothing.
Well, there are several factors in play. For one, the neocons aren't in control. They don't even have the kind of reach into the administration that they had in the first Trump.
That's correct, but all the producers have their phone numbers.
Right. But also, they don't really have their tentacles into the full expanse of blue either, because even though establishment Democrats will support their rhetoric, the progressive wing of the Democrats has abandoned them. And although they still genuflect rhetorically occasionally, the third thing is that they were burned badly by the wars with the Muslim world and their role in it, and the collateral damage that Israel's campaign in Gaza has done to their cause of endless war. So they are in a much weaker position to make any kind of full court press. And therefore, the neocons who are close to the president, like Marco Rubio, are directing their energies toward the agendas that they are closest to and that are more accessible, shall we say, like Venezuela, by filibustering in Latin America. And so you really have a kind of weak faction that is in many ways trying to shore up what influence it has left.
Let me read some headlines from our neocon colleagues. This is Financial Times, London, referring to events in Florida. Ukraine says it held difficult but productive, those are the quotes, talks with U.S. on peace plan. There it is again. Subheads: Donald Trump's special envoy due to travel to Moscow this week as Washington tries to clinch a deal, a peace deal. And we're told that these meetings in Florida were helpful to understand the dimensions of... Germanicus, I don't mean to be impolite, but the word surrender started to form in my mouth and I bit it off. Should I just avoid that word going forward?
Well, even Mr. Putin would prefer that that word not be used.
All right.
In large part because he wants a clean achievement. He doesn't want a situation where you have irredentism and you know, the kind of desire for revenge that we saw in the 20th century. He would just like to have some kind of settlement. And the smart move by Mr. Trump is to dangle the only attractive hanging fruit that the U.S. has left to offer, and that is to invest in Russia. That's what I found to be the useful part of the 28-point plan that was initially presented, was the idea that Russia would be brought back into the fold and would be able to grow and reestablish its links with Europe in energy, but also to modernize its extraction of resources with U.S. joint ventures. All of that is the only real leverage we have left. We have no military leverage. Europe has zero. And so the question is to meet his demands without having Ukraine in a position to interrupt negotiations. So I think what you saw in Kiev with this meeting that you refer to is essentially the U.S. sending a message that Ukraine has to get with the program. Now, this is a fortuitous or at least opportune time to send that message because of the corruption scandal, first of all, and second of all, the near collapse now of Ukrainian military capability. And so the oligarchs and I don't know what the correct word would be, but I'd use an old commie word, the gangster retinue around Mr. Zelensky have to be thinking about how they can survive. And I mean survive in the full spectrum of meaning that word can connote.
In 1972, Richard Nixon, our favorite president at the moment, negotiated Vietnamization. I do not see these gentlemen in Florida where Mr. Rubio made that comment.
Right.
Mr. Umarov, who is representing Kyiv. I do not see them coming up with Ukrainization. Say we're weaning ourselves from aid from the U.S. and NATO. They want to go straight to, the pity place. Now, that's okay, but here, 50 years later, Germanicus, do we think we could find five people in any random room who can find Vietnam on a map?
Well, they should. It's grown remarkably since the war, and it's now a player in the ASEAN world. And there are a lot of Americans who want to retire to Vietnam, you know, not just Thailand, but Vietnam, Philippines, because of the cost of living. It's had a major influence in American life because of the several million Vietnamese we brought back here. You know, my pharmacist, my
hairdresser,
you know, they're a part of American life. So I would hope they could find it, but you're probably right.
So 50 years from now, we'll have Ukrainian pharmacists?
Well, let me put it this way. The influx of Ukrainians that has been most, that has the greatest impact in terms of this war in American foreign policy were the Ukrainian SS soldiers that were brought into Canada and the U.S. after World War II, especially Canada. And it's their progeny that have been the big boosters behind getting into Ukraine and fighting this proxy war, like Vindman, for example, or Krista Friedland in Canada. And I think Ukraine's impact has been met. But yeah, there'll be some Ukrainians coming here. But the main problem Ukraine has right now is that we've taken Ukraine to the brink of existence. I mean, their fertility is down to 0.7, and they've emptied their country of young people, and they're half the population they were at the beginning of the war. And so they're heading into Belarus territory as a kind of vestigial nation. And under those circumstances, it's unlikely that Ukraine can mount any kind of threat to Russia again. So I think as long as the U.S. can make an attractive offer on Donbass and on Russian reintegration and Ukrainian neutrality, just those three things. And of course, Ukraine's already agreed not to discriminate against Russian speakers in the remaining territory of Ukraine. So that would solve the issue. I would think you could get a treaty on that basis.
Germanicus being buoyant, on a gloomy night in Londinium, we're going to turn to something that is French philosophy, which means you're forgiven if you want to leave the room. But it has merit in that the French have identified an ambition for the United States domestically that not now exists. Germanicus and I agree that the country is fragmented comfortably. People in their clubs, their groupings, and not out, there's no outreach whatsoever. We've gone through these periods before, and the French are recommending something only the Frenchmen would do this. Civic communion when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society, waiting on peace. I'm Germanicus's best friend, Gaius, and Germanicus is Gaius's best friend, otherwise known as Michael Vlahos, and I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.